The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
Welcome to Mind Pump. This is the world's top fitness, health, and entertainment podcast. This is a Q&A episode where we answer fitness and health questions. But at the beginning of the episode, we do a introductory portion. It's about 35 minutes long. It's where we talk about current events. We have some fun conversations. Sometimes we talk about our sponsors. So I'm going to give
you
a breakdown of this whole episode. Okay, so we start out by talking about one of our partners, Mir. Mir made a new Dawn Patrol camp cup. You can bring this camping. It's great. It keeps your beverages warm or cold. But also, because of its Earth Day and COVID-19, they have gone 100% carbon neutral, and they are now climate neutral certified. So that's kind of cool. Anyway, if you want to check out their products and get the Mind Pump discount, go to Mir.com. That's MIIR.com/Mind Pump. Use the code Mind Pump for 25% off. Then we talked about health clubs and their reopening plans. In particular, we talked about the Bay Club and what they're going to be doing. Then we talked about Tom Cruise and Elon Musk. They became friends, apparently. This is weird. I talked about a Spanish beach doing something very stupid to disinfect their beaches. Then we talked about a disinfectant that can be placed on surfaces and makes them impervious to bacteria and viruses for years. Kind of interesting. Then we talked about Adele, her weight loss, and the idiots that came out and said that that was body shaming somehow.
These people still exist.
And then Justin very eloquently talked about a tarantula's pet, and it was confusing, but we figured it out.
You're welcome.
And then we got into the questions. The first question, this person wants to know how you train someone that only wants to work out 1 to 2 days a week. So we talk about how to design a workout around that. The next question, this person wants to know what we think about farmer walks. So farmer walks where you hold dumbbells or a trap bar and you walk and it's usually loaded. There are some benefits to it, so we highlight it in that part of the episode.
Farmersonly.com.
The next question was about, this person wants to know how you, when you do find a balance between nutrition, activity, resistance training, what happens when you add more cardio? Does that throw things way off? And the final question, this person wants to know what strategies we have when we are trying to study a certain topic. We think you're going to like that part of the episode especially. Also, there's only 3 days left, 72 hours left for the No BS six-pack formula program, 50% off sale. So this is a ab and core workout program only. It's a complete workout program designed to develop the midsection so that the abs and the obliques are more visible, even at higher body fat percentages. Believe it or not, if you develop the muscles of the abs, you can see them more, even if you have higher body fat percentages. This is a phenomenal strategy. Well, this program is designed all around that. It is a full two-phase program with exercise demos and instruction all in the program. It's 50% off. That means the price is only one payment of $28.50. That gives you lifetime access. By the way, you could get the program, do it for a full month. If you don't like it, we'll return the $28.50 to your account. So
get those shredded summer abs.
It's guaranteed. So here's how you get the program. Go to nobssixpack.com. That's N-O-B-S, the number six, P-A-C-K.com. Use the code NOBS50. That's N-O-B-S-5-0. No space for the discount. So that's the Mir's new camp cup.
It's artsy.
Dawn Patrol Camp Cup.
Dawn Patrol.
They have good designers over at Mir. Yeah.
Like the last time they did with like a tattoo artist. So there's always somebody they partner.
Smart.
They partner with.
It looks cool. Did you see what they're doing?
For honor of Earth Day?
Yeah.
No, what is it?
100% carbon neutral and climate neutral certified.
What the hell does that mean?
It's good for the environment. No, what it means is that
That's all you need to know.
What it means is the company is not going to add more carbon according to the testing of this the certification, they're neutral. They're not adding more to the environment than they're taking out.
Is it common that most companies do that manufacture? Is that I'm assuming that's why that's a big deal.
Some companies definitely produce more carbon than other companies, for sure.
Well, not more. This is saying it's neutral. They're not producing
I don't know how they would make it neutral. I don't necessarily get that. But I do know that the certification process to get climate neutral certified, it's vigorous. And they go in and you, in order to get it, you have to be one of the cleaner companies.
I think it's that. And then what else are you potentially putting back in that's good? Would that be have something to do with it,
like
too?
Maybe because you plant trees?
Right.
Oh, yeah.
That's how you become neutral. Because it's inevitable if you're manufacturing something,
so
right?
So it's not just that they don't have an opinion on either one.
I don't think that's
I'm Switzerland
that's
here. I don't know what you guys are talking about.
What's your opinion on carbon? Neutral.
We got to reach out to our guy. He's always forward thinking, man. They're always doing something. I can't even keep up with how much they give back. I think it's pretty cool what Brian's been doing over there for quite some time.
Totally.
It's part of the reason why we partnered with him.
Dude, so you know how because of what's going on, everybody's doing like Zoom conference calls and Zoom classroom and everybody's working from home or whatever.
Yeah, Zoom.
And have you heard of you've heard the stories, right? Where like the employee in the conference doesn't know that this mic is on, right? And they're taking a dump. Or something like that, or people are walking around naked in the background, or people's kids screaming. Well, there was this reporter, the Spanish reporter, that was doing a live journalism thing on his YouTube channel or whatever, this live reporting thing, and in the background, his mistress.
No.
Yeah, dude, she's walking around. She walks by naked.
What?
And he gets caught cheating on his wife on camera.
What?
Yes.
What an asshole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What a jerk. Yeah. No, he gets caught cheating on camera. Try getting around.
What a way to find out, huh?
How do you deny that?
Yeah. Wife's home watching it.
I saw your broadcast today. You got something to tell me?
Kids, change the channel. We got to watch Dad real quick, okay? I love watching his new stuff. He puts it on.
Now, you don't know who Earl Thomas is, but he's a safety that plays for the Ravens, and he's a stud. And
he's a safety for the Ravens.
Stupid.
Sorry. Yeah.
So did you see the breaking news on him last night?
No.
Oh, so he got so his wife was arrested for putting a gun to his head. Now, she took the magazine out but didn't realize there's a round in the chamber. That's why she's in trouble. Ooh. But I guess she walked in on him and his brother naked with two other mistresses.
Mm.
That just hit the news yesterday.
Wow.
It's not brotherly love.
It's not worth it. You know what I mean?
What's that?
To kill someone because they cheated on you. What a stupid thing.
I don't think so. From what the report was saying, her intentions weren't to do that. It was just to scare him, which is why I think she pulled the magazine out.
Oh, he'll never cheat on me again because I scared him with a gun.
Yeah.
Like, what a stupid...
Yeah, but when you're in the heat of the moment, like, I'm not, by the way, I'm not, like, justifying. I'm playing devil's advocate with you right now. That, come on, like, you got to know that.
Sure, you walk in on your wife and with some dude.
Yeah, like, you think, scorned.
It's not like you stop and you think logically for fucking 20 minutes. Yeah. Like, oh, how should I handle this? Yeah. And what's going to work?
Wasn't
what's my
desired
outcome?
Left Eye Lopez that, like, burned down her husband's house or whatever?
Did she really?
Day? Yeah.
Oh, TLC was the... They were great. Fiery. Then. Yeah, I love them.
Yeah.
On the way to Reno, you can see they're still touring. The two of them are.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
They're just TLC?
They're just chasing waterfalls still?
Yeah, I saw. I saw a billboard.
They're
the last
just TC
time we were
now.
That's messed up, man.
You can't have the L. She's not there anymore.
Dare you.
You know what I'm saying? I was a big fan of that back then.
Are you guys watching all the news right now on just all these gyms that are slowly starting to open up and the regulations happening?
Dude, this is not going to be good.
It's wild.
So bait clubs. Let me find it.
It's
real
like
quick.
It's like post-apocalyptic kind of feel.
It's just they're opening up with these new they're releasing kind of their strategies, like how we're going to reopen. So Bay Clubs, this was in a local news outlet. Bay Clubs talked about what they're going to be doing and how they're going to reopen. They're going to be reopening. So they're going to be taping off 10 by 10 pods. So 10 by 10 spaces that are considered workout pods. And you're going to be reserving these 10 by 10 workout spots, pods. They're going to be limiting their capacity at 25%. So 75% less people now can use their facility.
There's no way that lasts.
What a strange vibe that's going
to
be.
Yeah. For group classes like yoga, there's going to be taped boxes on the floor, so you have to stay in that little segment. Hmm. You cannot bring your own mat. The sports courts are going to be repurposed with cardio equipment, so they have room for spacing them way out.
Gyms are just not that profitable to start with. Mm-hmm. There's been a misconception forever in our space that they're just money makers. Yeah. They're not. They are not mass. And there's always exceptions to the rule. There's models or there's franchises or there's bubbles that happen, you know, mm-hmm. Curves, for an example. Mm-hmm. Sure, if you got in on the front end of Curves, you might have got rich being the first, you know, 500 people that got into that mm-hmm. business. But I mean, look where it's at today. Yeah. So there's bubbles right now that have happened in our space that are extremely popular. They're trendy right now. People are making decent money off of them. But long-term wise, gyms in general just don't profit a ton of money.
They interviewed the COO of 24 Hour Fitness, Carl Sanft. And they said, so what do you think about like when they reopen and stuff? And so it's just, I mean, typical, you know, you gotta have the marketing phrase, right?
Oh, of course.
So yeah. He says it's gonna be a reimagined experience.
Reimagined.
I feel so bad laughing.
Imagine me and you.
He can't come out and say
you can't. Yeah, we gotta separate.
He can't come
right
out
now.
And be like, yeah, it's gonna suck.
Yeah.
It's gonna be way give different than what it was before.
Now we were there really young. Justin was there young too, but not as young as you and I. Do you remember when that started to come together for you, like just the corporate bullshit? Like I remember, you know, being on the morning emails in my like early 20s and like so bought into the company, and like you would get a message like that and you're like, and you would spin it to your staff, like,
yeah,
dude, it's gonna be amazing. This new thing we're gonna do now, and people are gonna be, we're gonna save the, like you'd go down and pitch it like that.
So here's the new comp plan.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So imagine fitness.
Reimagined.
Now reimagine it. Yeah. Right? That's what it's going to be like. No, I mean, you know, terms make a big difference. The way you, yeah. I mean, politics does this exceptionally well. Anytime a new bill is passed, whatever the name is, it does the opposite. That's like a rule of thumb.
Well, what Justin just said
is the Patriot Act, opposite. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Opposite. Yeah, anything exactly. That says freedom, opposite. You know, every single time you read it.
Well, what Justin said is a great point too, is that when they would roll out comp plans, I mean, I remember, so I was there.
You had to spin that like,
I was there
every time.
Oh yeah, I was there 10 years. And in the 10 years, I had to hand out to my staff 8 different comp plans. So basically almost one a year. And by about the, you know, third one, I think I started to piece it together like, wait a second, this is not ever in the favor of my staff. And obviously, once you really understand business and scaling something to that magnitude, a comp plan change is always in the favor of the company.
Yeah, that's an easy way for them to save money.
Right.
Yeah.
But when they would put it out, they would position it as an opportunity for you to make more money. Right. So if you've learned
like
to
create new positions, yeah. You know, that you could like, you know, advance to. Yeah.
We're going
to
pay you less hourly, but look, if you sell this much more, you actually could make more money per year.
Yeah. Yeah. Try harder.
I used to irritate that crap out of me when they would do that. But I wasn't there for nearly as long as you were. I don't know how the hell you lasted.
As much as I talk trash, I liked it. I loved work. I still today sometimes miss it. I mean, I wouldn't.
Yeah, it was a fun environment.
I would never replace it for what we've created for ourselves here. I mean, I've never loved something as much as what we get to do now. But I did love the atmosphere. It fed right into my personality. Just I was around lots of people. It was a team environment. Mm-hmm. It was competitive. Lots of energy. Everybody that's coming into that place, either working there or working out, are there to better themselves. And so that environment, I ate it up, dude. I loved it. And I remember as the comp plans always got worse and worse, and I always found a way. I was the small percentage of, even though the comp plan got shittier, I found a way to still make more money, knowing that it probably hurt the other 90%. And so I was okay. And I always said, man, if you would have to pay me probably close to double what I was making there to convince me to leave.
Yeah, and after a while, it's like a system, and you're just there, and you're doing it, you're enjoying it.
Yeah.
It's not super hard.
No, not at all.
You learn what you're doing.
Shit, yeah, shit. By year 5 or 6, I had really, you know, got comfortable with what I needed to do mm-hmm. to be successful and felt good. And, you know, in my area, I built a name for myself. So, yeah, no, it was a fun
job. I used to have a lot of fun. I remember one time to try to sell more apparel because, you know, in the front of the club, we'd sell workout clothes. To sell more apparel, I had a couple of my sales guys put on the girls' like workout apparel, and I'd make them go take an aerobics class or whatever. And then we'd make announcements. You know, go to the take the class and watch Paul wear. You know,
well, you were at Hillsdale when they did that. Did the runway show? Didn't they? Wasn't that when you were there? Or was that not when you were there? That was a big deal.
Do a runway show?
They did like they modeled all. They turned the lights out, and then down the walkway, they had all the staff come through and that was smart. It was clever. Back then you could do that. Like now, liability, turning the lights off, you get sued, all this bullshit, you know. But those are the days that you could do creative stuff.
The whole space is going to be very interesting to watch over the next couple of years. It was funny this morning. We've been talking just amongst ourselves about investing, you know, our own personal money. And when you're trying to invest, I think it's really smart. By the way, I'm not an investment expert, so just this is my own opinion. But I think it's smart to kind of stay in your lane because it helps you with your temperament, you know. Because if I invest in fitness companies, I can weather the storm more knowing what's happening with the trends. And so we've been talking about investing in companies like Peloton, right? Peloton is a publicly traded company. And we figure, God, they're probably going to do well because more people are going to work out at home, less people working out at gyms. And so we've been talking about this for a while. And we were all talking about getting shares like the other day. None of us did. Wake up this morning, they're up like, you know, $5 or $10, right? So I'm all pissed off at it. I should have known better. This is the worst person. The worst
you woke
person
up the sleepy bear
to tell this to is Adam, right? Yeah. So I send a text. And I'm like, damn it, we fucking.
If he had hair, it'd be gone again.
We should have acted right, and then I just set him off, dude. He conference calls everybody, on the
I was hella mad.
We didn't buy this.
I come stomping down the stairs this morning.
No, bro, Adam's like, remember the stock. Remember, this is the number one rule in investments in the stock market. Buy low, say hi, sell high, right?
Right.
The market's already up. It's already got up. Yeah. Adam's like, put all the money in.
Just buy it now. Yeah.
Pissed off. I'm like, whoa, dude, calm down.
So mad, bro. So mad. We were.
But I do think Peloton is going to be an interesting. I mean, this is my own personal investment. But I think this will be an interesting place to look.
Well, because they're a tech company, right? Like for the most part. So they have a good, I think the infrastructure for that business is sound in terms of like what they're trying to create, like this new platform of how to create the experience of it. Like tech companies need to be the ones driving that. But also, you know, the fitness element of it is, it's definitely going to evolve more into the home, type training.
Their bike sales, 66% went up. 66% increase in bike sales.
Those are expensive, those bikes.
Yes, they are.
And of course, a lot of that's driven from COVID, right? Of course, there was a bunch of people that had probably been on the fence for a long time that were considering getting one. And because now they're stuck at home, I have a handful of people very close to me. That's exactly what happened. So that to me isn't the major indicator. They've just established themselves in a space that is, I don't think, is going to go away anytime soon.
Mm-mm. No, it's going to evolve.
It's going to grow.
Right. Yeah, and the only real competitor they have right now is SoulCycle. SoulCycle's done their bike. They have a very strong hold on the cycling community already. So if you are already in love with that brand, so they're gonna have a piece of the pie too.
But it's still brick and mortar, like that's their specialty, which is going to take a bit for them to transition.
Right. I mean, but I could argue with that's also why it'll do well, because they've already established a strong community. They have a strong community, and then they pivot into something else. It's just like us.
True. They got the fans.
If we were to pivot into anything related to fitness, even if it has nothing to do with what we currently do right now, I would think that we would do okay because we have a community already. Sure. So SoulCycle has done that. They will own a piece of the pie, but I just think that Peloton is so far ahead of everybody in that space that they will be competitive for years to come, and that's also why I like that.
And they're also not just going to be the bikes. They're going to offer other...
Yeah, they already do.
Right, and they're going to keep growing with that. And if you think... again, this is our space, right? We're in the fitness space, and so I think our opinion is much more than just a guess. I think we have a pretty educated opinion. Of course, we could totally be wrong, but I think in the near future, I don't know what it's going to look like in 10 years or 5 years, but I think in the next year, I can pretty confidently say that gym attendance will be lower. That's my confident guess or estimation.
Yeah.
But I don't think less people are going to be working out. I think what you're going to see is more working out at home. And so tech companies like Peloton, it feels like a smart place to go, a smart buy. I don't see them slowing down yet. In fact, I think they're going to start going up as we continue to see more
bankruptcies. You're making fun of me of saying buy, 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 but that's how I feel. I feel like it's not and this is where I'm not an expert at reading the market and watching and trying to time a perfect buy.
Right.
This is just
long
this,
term.
Yeah, this is our space, and it's like I would still bet that where it's at, even with the spike today, it'll be still much higher than that a year, 2 year, 3 year from now. It's it's a buy and hold, in my opinion. It's not something that I'm speculating on, oh, this is the perfect place to buy it at and then try and sell it.
The market's so interesting, too. Some shares just make no sense, like Tesla just does not make any sense why it's so damn expensive. Even Elon says in his own tweets, the shares are too expensive. This is too damn much.
Did you see Elon, who he just partnered with?
No.
Tom Cruise.
Why?
What? I'm going to tell you, dude. Tom Cruise been making moves, man. Like, I brought him up not too long ago, obviously, because of Top Gun and how he's trying to do all these revolutionary ways to film being up in the air with these fighter jets and everything and, like, bringing in that IMAX experience, like, legit inside the cockpit. Well, he's taking it to a whole nother level by now partnering with SpaceX and NASA. And they're already in plans of shooting an action movie in space.
Wow.
Like legit
Mr. Scientology himself.
I was just going to say, I think Tom Cruise just wants
to get closer to Lord Xenu.
He just wants to go to Planet Xenu or whatever.
Yeah, or build his own Westworld. Right. I don't know. That might be
something, man. He's making moves.
You guys saw Elon had a kid. Did you guys see that?
I didn't.
You didn't see what he named his kid?
Yes, no, I did. Okay, how do you pronounce that?
Because it's like,
oh, really?
Yeah, it is. But the way
are you serious?
I think it's Kyle.
It's Chad.
But the way, but
yeah, yeah, like, what the fuck? Why are these like little?
But the way symbols. He named him, he used all these symbols that are, you know.
It looks like an A that goes into an E, and then like
I don't know what they're called. I know really smart people know, and so I think if
it's
you pronounce
like alien
them all,
hieroglyphics. Yeah. You know, it's
I
like,
haven't
come on,
seen
dude.
It. Pull it up, Doug. I want to see what
his
it
name's
looks
Kyle.
Like.
Come on,
I think
dude.
It's Kyle. I think if you pronounce it, it's Kyle.
Oh, come on.
It's like remember when Prince changed his name to that symbol?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you know. Yeah, either way they call him Elon's son.
Okay, was that because he was getting himself out of a record contract, though? I think there was something behind that, why he did that, so he was able to kind of like get bypassed some kind of loophole.
I tell you what, dude, I so bad. I'm not like this normally. This is not at all the kind of personality that I have or who I am, but I really want to be Elon's friend.
He just was on great. Rogan again. I can't wait to listen.
You don't think he would be awkward?
Bro, I love weird people.
Of course
people.
He'd be awkward.
I mean, we all like weird people, but as a friend.
Huh?
Yeah.
I think he'd be great.
Nah.
I would love to sit down.
Bro, it doesn't, whether you believe in God or not, it just doesn't work out that way, dude. You get
it's
all
like a one-way conversation.
You get all this brilliance, you get social awkwardness. That's just part of it, dude. Yeah, it just comes with the cards. It's like you don't get to be that brilliant and then also hella cool.
I'm not gonna go like, what do you mean cool? Like imagine sitting down with them, smoking a joint, and be like, hey man, what do you think about a flying car?
It probably would feel as awkward
ideas at him.
It would probably feel as awkward as that interview did.
That interview was great.
It was awkward.
You think so?
Yes, it was. It was great because everyone got to see him get high, but it was awkward.
Yeah. See, there's the name right there. Doug, you can't expand that, can you? It's like, it's those letters right there. Watch. What does that say?
It's like XAEA-12 Musk.
A12. And that's Kyle? That means Kyle?
I think,
how do you get Kyle out of that?
I don't know. Like, seriously, my mind's blown if that means Kyle.
Yeah, somebody.
What a way to make sure your kid gets beat up in elementary school.
I know.
Really guarantee right there.
Bro,
way to go, Dad.
If he takes after his dad, ain't nobody going to beat him up. He's going to be he'll probably be half cyborg.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's already preparing to be a cyborg. I'm sure he's going to Neuralink him and everything right away.
Did you guys see our buddy James Smith, Joe DeFranco's partner? Did you see what happened to him?
No.
Oh, you guys didn't see that? I think he posted I thought it was in our forum. Maybe it was just on his Facebook feed. He ordered a bunch of equipment online, got hella duped.
What?
Whoa. Yeah, yeah.
What do you mean? Like, they took the money and
they were advertising like a, you know, warehouse equipment or all kinds of like a warehouse type of, you know,
like
broker.
Some massive sale.
Yeah, exactly. And then they had a bunch of equipment. So he ordered it and it was like a bait and switch type of deal. They sent him just like old, rusted, crappy weight, barbell, dumbbell stuff. It was nothing what he looked at. Yeah. I mean, a pallet still showed up to his house, but it was like fucking junk.
Wow. Shenanigans.
That's you know that the scams on gym equipment have exploded.
Oh, we talked about this off air. I don't think we talked about it on air that we were speculating that already. Like, you know, with 670% increase in at home equipment sales, you know there's a lot of opportunists that see that and are like, oh man, there's gonna be some suckers that are gonna buy into this for sure.
Dude, I saw somebody post on what is it on Facebook where you could buy things that's isn't there like a segment there where you could sell? Anyway, they have like a segment there where you can buy and sell stuff.
Uh-huh.
someone was selling a crappy home gym equipment. You know, it wasn't even Olympic barbell. It was the skinny barbell mm-hmm. with the little skinny weight. All of them rusty. The bench had tape on it, keeping it from, you know, tearing in half or whatever. The dude was selling for like $2,000.
Did you see the meme?
What?
Did you see the meme? The meme that's going around. Someone posted in our forum this. It was a meme of, you know, like there was four. It was a quadrant, right? So it was four images. Yeah. Three of the images were like, you know, one was like a set of dumbbells, one was like a barbell rack, and it was like $2,000, $1,500, you know, $900, and then a house in Virginia, $750. That's how fucked up our market is right now.
It's all over the place.
That's so messed up. Dude, you want to talk about stupid stuff. In Spain, you know how they actually, in Europe, Spain has one of the higher rates of COVID, and they're trying to, you know, take care of the whole situation. But people are up in arms because the Spanish government there did something a little controversial.
What's that?
They sprayed their beach with bleach.
Oh, brilliant.
They actually went through.
What?
They actually went through.
Yeah, let's wash that into the ocean kill all the life.
Went through and bleached, like just blasted the sand of this beach with a bunch of bleach to prevent, you know, any viruses. I mean, doesn't the sun kill viruses and stuff too?
That was my thought.
Yeah. Oh my God. So environmentalists are all up in arms because of all they're killing.
How could something like that even get passed to get done? There's got to be somebody who had to sign off.
Brain idea.
Yeah, like, sign off on that. Yeah, good idea. Let's fly some bleach over that. Just drop it on.
Bleach kills everything.
Exactly. How do we solve this problem? Wait, doesn't bleach kill it?
Let's just kill everything. Yeah.
Let's all drink it.
Nuke it.
Yeah, wow. Idiots. Wow. Anyway, so that, and then there's these inventors that came out with one thing about emergencies and scary situations is sometimes it pushes, or oftentimes it pushes innovation through the roof. Apparently, there's this surface that you can put on things that makes them antibacterial for like years. So you can like cover a table in this, and this is just in a test, but they can cover it with the spray that then will make it antibacterial for like a year or
Scotch
something card? Like that.
Yeah, I was going to say Scotch card, Teflon.
That's called stains. Yeah. That's not the same thing.
Isn't that how Scotch card works? I mean, it's like the same thing. I mean,
if spray those on my shoes.
Yeah, your dog could shit on your couch and you're fine. I mean, I think that's like the same concept,
no,
right?
No, dude, that's not the same thing.
Hey, I saw our good buddy Jordan Syatt posted something in defense of Adele, and I tried to look it up, and I didn't know. Obviously, I saw her picture. She's just like one of those people who like posts like once every 6 months, and then everybody goes bananas.
One of the most talented singers
I've seen her live.
Yeah.
Absolutely. She puts on an amazing show. She like does this whole thing where she like kind of like tell why I liked it so much was it, I wasn't like an Adele diehard fan or some shit. I just went to the concert. And when I went there, I learned all about her through her singing. So between every song, she kind of tells her story.
Oh, that's awesome.
Just a really cool way. And she's so talented. She's someone who could sit on a stool and sing her whole concert and you're like blown away.
Yeah, very, very talented. Yeah. So here's what happened. You guys are going to get annoyed by it. But anyway, so she lost a ton of weight. Okay. Posted a picture.
Good for her.
Posted a picture of it. Okay. And people were congratulating her. Mm-hmm. Now other people are up in arms and saying that congratulating someone for losing weight is body shaming people because you shouldn't celebrate.
Wait, is that still happening?
Yeah.
'Cause come on. Yeah. Didn't this whole like pandemic kind of put a backhand slap to that?
No, apparently not. So people were like, congratulations. Oh my God, that's so great. And then other people were like, well, you shouldn't celebrate that because you're body shaming. And that's not always a good thing, and this and that. Can you? What the hell's going on here?
It's just I mean, this needs to end.
Yeah,
you know, I'm done. You know, pandering to that stuff,
bro. That's is it just going to get
stupid.
Worse?
Health is health.
We're going to be the old guys that are talking about how ridiculous it is. I mean,
we are already.
I know. When we get like this, I feel like I'm like, man. Do we just accept it, dude? This is the direction that we're going. It's going to be so.
Pick your battles. That's not one.
I honestly, you know what I think? Honestly, I think it's number one. It's a lot of virtue signaling. And what does that mean?
We're fucking soft.
Yeah, virtue signaling means you want people to think you're virtuous, so you signal out. You're not actually virtuous. I'll give you guys an example. We have a friend who always talks about how we need to pay more taxes because it helps more people pay more. So I asked her, I said, well, how much more do you pay in your taxes? She's like, well, I don't. I said, well, you can. You know, there's a form in your taxes. You can actually pay more if you want to. Of course you don't, because you're virtue signaling. You want everybody to think you're a good person. Reality is your actions actually show that you don't believe what you say. So I think people want to virtue signal and show everybody how, oh, yes, this is body shame. And then the other thing, too, is I honestly think people need to feel like they have a voice. And so they find a way to be enraged over something silly like someone losing weight, which is insane to me. So yeah. Apparently you can't congratulate her for weight loss because it's body shaming people.
Yeah, that's horseshit.
Yeah, what is the world?
I posted that image. It came up on that. I know you guys follow. I think that Instagram, the historic Instagram page. You guys follow that, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah. Today's post they posted was the jungle gym in like 1920.
Oh, dude!
I know you've seen that image before.
No kid would have survived. Today. Yeah,
it's like 40 feet in the air, like monkey bars.
Oh, dude!
They had those vertical ladders. Yeah, and everything. I remember that.
Such I posted in my story today because I'm like, and I literally. So it's funny you bring this up. I mean, obviously none of this was planned, and it was just on my mind. Like, God, we are just getting so soft. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is just, could you imagine if someone built that right now? Like, that would be insane.
Bro, I'll tell you what, anytime I talk to my grandfather, I feel like the biggest, like, wuss of all time. My grandfather, remember, this is true now. It's 100% true story. My grandfather, at the age of 11 years old, would sneak onto trains, sometimes have to ride on the top of them. At 11 years old, travel to other towns, try to sell food, potatoes, because he'd have potato, whatever, try to make money, get back on a train, come back home, and sometimes this was 2 days later, to bring the money to his mom. Yeah. 11 years old. So what I think is that as society gets easier and easier, we just all become weaker and weaker, and society's so easy now that we have.
Oh, I know. My grandpa was in two wars and then was stationed up in Alaska and got frostbite on his foot.
Yeah,
and almost had to cut his foot off, and his foot was just disgusting after that. You know, it's just like, what are we complaining about?
Yeah, now you have an ingrown toenail.
Yeah,
you have to take the day off work.
Well, it's funny when you think about the unintended consequences from this. Is that, you know, we've made it easier for ourselves physically, but it's probably arguably mentally more challenging now because of that, right?
But it's different. I'd say the mental challenges are still they were challenged back then. But the difference is it's a different type of challenge. Well,
they were challenged more physically, right? No, not being able to get food. Sure.
But you think that's mentally challenging?
Yeah, but I mean, it switches you over to survival mode real quick. You're going to die if you don't eat. I mean, that's a whole lot different than like pondering how I feel about myself for months at a time.
Bro, my great-grandmother had like 15 kids. 9 survived. You know what I mean? You just lose kids.
Yeah.
When you talk to them about that, I would talk to my grandfather about this. He's like, yeah, kids died all the time. Like if you had 10 kids, people would assume that you didn't have 10 kids. You had probably 13 kids, and one of them died from the fever one time. The other kid, he fell down a hole and died, and this one over here had some kind of weird disease we didn't know about. Like, this just happened.
Yeah, but I would think that makes you more mentally resilient because of that.
I think it changes your perspective for sure.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. It makes you more mentally resilient when you've had to go through things like that, where us today, like, the wind blows the opposite direction and we get fucking freaked out.
It's probably true. Oh, thank God you only lost a hand. Whew, come here. You're good now. All right, go back to school. You know,
we are turning into old men listening to us talk right now.
We totally are.
It's happening.
When I talk to my kids about like school and stuff like that, I was talking to my son and I'm like, have you ever seen a fight at school? He's like, there almost was a fight once.
You mean like a verbal one on Facebook?
This guy yelled. Yeah, his friend.
I know that there's schools where fights and stuff like that happen, but just in my comparison from how I grew up to my kid, like, my son's a freshman and he's never seen a fist fight at school.
Really?
Never seen a fist fight at school.
Wow.
That's great, but I can't even imagine that.
No, bro.
We had batteries thrown at us. I fucking shit you not, dude. Like, one of my friends got punked and bullied so hard, they made him like strip down naked and climb up the flagpost in front of everybody.
Wow.
And then threw batteries at him?
Yeah.
Wow. It was messed up, bro.
It was messed up.
Wow, dude.
We were freshmen. That's what they did to freshmen.
It's like Lord of the Flies.
I mean, I got thrown in a dumpster as a freshman, but that was it. That was the extent of it.
I was so glad it didn't happen to me.
By the time I was a freshman, I probably got into a dozen fights at school and after school and all that stuff, even more than that. It was just, you know, and I'm not saying it was better. I think that's a bad thing, but there are bad things that happen to you have the potential to teach you good lessons.
Yeah.
And so by the time I got older, you know, you become a little more assertive and stuff. And so I'm talking to my son about this. And I'm like, he's like, well, how do you like, what if you hit someone? What does that feel like? I'm like, dang, you have no idea.
Yeah.
You know, like what that's like, you know? I'll have to sign him up for some boxing or
something. Yeah, get him in some jiu-jitsu now. Yeah, that's the move.
Just, randomly push him down the stairs every now and then, you know.
Just throw some challenges.
Yeah. Dude, I have a random fact I've been like meaning to lay on you guys here. So my mind was blown because I was like looking up all these like creature things, and there was this article about a tarantula and how it has its own pets.
Tarantulas have their own pets?
It has a pet. Like, it keeps a frog around, and they have this, like, mutual understanding.
What?
That the frog will basically eat all the insects around while it's laying its eggs. So this is all for, like, it's trying to protect its eggs while it's going out to hunt and do all this stuff. And so the frog's there eating insects while the spider's out hunting.
So, wait. Yeah, how are they helping each other?
Well, so it allows the frog to stay there with him.
But why?
Protection. I don't know.
I'm confused here. Okay, so
this sounds like a shitty deal.
I know this.
maybe it gets eaten later.
It sounds like one of my son's child books. I still can't figure out. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't understand this.
It's okay. So yeah, so the frog like it allows him to live there.
I know you guys
can
relate as dads right now, right?
Yeah.
The fucking book. You're like, what the fuck? This story doesn't even make sense.
No, he's there. He gets an abundance of bugs that come through there, you know, to protect him.
Okay, so the frog stays there, eats bugs.
Yes.
The tarantula
doesn't eat the frog.
But why does a tarantula leave the frog? Because he's just cool with him?
Yeah. that's the summary of the story.
That's it. And this is a true thing.
This is true.
Did you find images?
It's a frog pet. Okay. All right.
Well, yeah. How's it a pet? How are they not just homies?
I don't know. Maybe they're friends, but it seems like it's a little bit,
one sided.
Like it could eat him at any minute.
Now, when you read this, did you have an edible
before? I probably did.
You might have confused two stories.
No! I don't understand why you guys don't get this.
I guess, okay, well, because I'm trying to picture it. So,
I'm trying to understand what the mutual agreement is.
Well, yeah, where do they, like, first of all, doesn't tarantulas
kill them?
Tarantulas live underground in holes, right?
Right.
And frogs are, like, in puddles and shit.
Yeah,
so, right?
He goes to sleep there?
Where are they chilling at?
Okay. Thank you, Doug.
Oh, wow. These are, like, huge difference in size here.
Yeah.
So the tarantula is massive. And
maybe
like,
he's just saving the frog to eat later.
Well, that's what I thought, but I guess not. Like, he's cool with having. It's almost like, you know how that shark has, like, the cleaner fish that like cleans all the parasites and stuff off of them.
Oh, the frog protects the spider's eggs.
That's what I was saying.
You did not explain that well. Did you understand that?
No. I understood it in my head.
No,
I don't know why you guys aren't getting this. It's a little straightforward.
You tell it like the children's story. Like, just like three words, then I got to piece
it
together. You got to piece it together. Choose your own adventure.
This frog better be careful. I don't trust spiders at all. They double cross everybody.
I feel the same way, too.
I know, right? I don't know. Like the first frog that was, you know, he was like cool with. Like, when did that happen?
You have to describe the audience, too, that the difference in size is like,
it was a tiny frog.
Yeah, it's a little.
Yeah, I guess I should have explained it was a tiny frog.
Right, I was imagining like two the same size and like how they work together. Yeah. But
so you guys are also not fans of spiders, not as much as me, but you're also, what kind of spiders are the worst for you?
Because the smaller ones.
Really?
So we used to have tarantulas where we grew up, and we'd come out and they'd be all over the place all the time. So in October is when they breed and you'd see them everywhere. Yeah. So they would get in our house. And
tarantulas?
They don't bite. They shoot their hairs in defense, right? So it's like nothing. So it's not
They walk on roads and everything.
Yeah, like we used to let them crawl on us, everything. I got used to them because we lived around them all the time. And I realized I don't like little spiders, that you feel but you can't see. Like a tarantula is not sneaking up on you. Yeah. You see a tarantula, hey, stand up.
I don't like the ones that have like the big butts and they look like they're sweaty, you know? They're just like, and they're like sheen. There's a sheen on them, like a bright color. You know, you're like, oh, that one's fucking venomous.
Yeah,
venomous.
Yeah, I don't like the sharp ones. Like when they're furry and stuff, it doesn't look as bad. But the ones that look all edgy.
Have you seen
the ones in Australia? Like the videos of people catching them with a bowl.
Well, they get big ones. Yeah.
Fuck,
they kill
dude.
Birds and stuff.
That's Australia, but that's the only reason why.
They got some gnarly spiders.
Yeah,
if
you could create a spider-free zone, then we might come down and do a live show there.
That would
until that can happen.
Yeah,
I don't know, forever.
Coronavirus, whatever, dude. Spiders.
Yeah.
Agreed.
One more weird thing. They found an antibody that combats the COVID-19 virus. You know where the antibody comes from?
Llamas.
Llamas.
Oh.
What?
Yeah, llama. There's a llamas.
We are just trying everything.
Wait.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Llamas. Llamas produce apparently this antibody that is anti-COVID. So they're examining this to see if
what does that mean?
So if we inject, theoretically, you have COVID, we inject you with llama antibody. Those antibodies neutralize the virus. You're okay now.
Would it like a scientist get spit on the face or something and was like, hey,
or are we really that aggressive that we're trying everything right now?
I have no idea.
You handle the llamas, you go with the frogs.
Yeah.
How did that come up?
John, write down all the animals that exist. We're going to test them all out.
Let's go down the list.
We're going to need the
semen.
We
got down to
too.
L. Yeah. Yeah. Something's happening. It's working.
Alpaca didn't work. What else we got? Llama? Let's try that one.
This quaz brought to you by Organifi. For those days you fall short on getting your organic veggies or whole food nutrition, Organifi fills the gap with laboratory-tested, certified organic superfoods to help give your health and performance the added edge. Try Organifi totally risk-free for 60 days by going to Organifi.com. That's Organifi.com. And use the coupon code MINDPUMP for 20% off at checkout.
First question is from Just a Youngin. How do you train someone that only wants to commit to 1 to 2 workouts a week?
Very carefully.
Yeah, that's it. Next question. Now, this I like this question. Here's why. When I was a new trainer, when people would tell me that they can only work out 1 or 2 work times a week, I literally would think that's a waste of time. And in fact, I know I turned away potential clients because they refused to commit to working out at least 3 days a week or 4 days a week.
Oh, you're not ready yet.
Yeah. In fact, part of my strategy when I was a new trainer, I've always, you know, enjoyed, you know, discussing and being persuasive, right? So I get this person in front of me and I'd say, how many days a week can you commit to the gym? And they'd say, oh, just 1 day a week. And then the rest of the time, my goal was to persuade them to commit to 3 or 4 days a week because in my eyes, 1 day a week just wasn't effective. Now, I realized after years of doing this, literally 5 or 6, 5 years maybe, that it was a terrible strategy. The strategy was terrible because the reality is if you're going from 0 days a week of working out to any more than that days of working out, that's a benefit. And on top of that, it's not just a physical benefit. It's beneficial because the way people develop long-term behavioral changes typically is a little bit at a time. So later on, my strategy became, hey, I can only work out 1 day a week. And I'd say, no problem. We'll design a workout around that and make sure it's as effective as possible. Now, as far as how would I train someone? Well, if I'm only training them once or twice a week, first off, a lot of it depends on the person. If I need to focus a lot on mobility work, which is usually the case with a brand new client, then most of my workout is going to be mobility work. As they progress and they need less and less of that special focus mobility work, more of it goes to traditional resistance training. If the person comes to me and they don't have tons of mobility issues, then I'll do a normal priming session or, you know, warm up, for example. And then I'm doing just a full body resistance training routine. And it's mainly revolving around compound lifts, you know, squats and overhead presses and rows and that kind of stuff.
So I would do exactly the same thing, except I guess another depends, right? Is sometimes somebody who says 1 to 2 times a week, it's because they're saying that like maybe just Saturday and Sunday they have an option to work out. And so the days are back to back. So that's the only way I would split it. I agree with Sal. Someone who's probably only able to commit to 1 or 2 days a week is probably also the clients that probably need a lot of mobility. So I would say that the bulk of my training would be focused around their posture and dealing with any sort of chronic pain and those issues. Then the other portion of it would obviously be a full body type of routine, unless it's back-to-back days. So if it's if their 2 days are back-to-back, then I would probably do a split where I went upper body 1 day, lower body the other day, and I would just – and all the only difference that I do is like – so let's say Sal's riding it the way he just said where he has a full body routine twice a week. He's probably going to do 2 to 3 sets of each body part on there. If I know that I'm only going to get that body part once that week, I might do 4 to 5, right? So I might do 4 to 5 sets for every body part in the upper body on one workout, and then the other workout, I would do 4 to 5 sets in the lower body workouts if I was going to go back-to-back workouts. If I had a minimum of 2 to 3 days in between the 2 days, then I would do exactly what you alluded to, which is a full body routine with mobility work is what that would look like.
Yeah, brand new client. I mean, this would be something I would definitely start to build up their specific mobility routine, their priming session. you know, ahead of time to really focus in on that, because they can repeat that the whole rest of the week as they, you know, have time available. They can do that at their house. But like, I would slowly build onto that with, you know, I'd take one compound lift and really try to, you know, teach them specifically the mechanics and the technique involved, and then have them practice it with light weight. You know, if that's the only amount of time I'm allotted, and go through that for a couple of weeks until I can really build up, you know, trust that they're going to perform this exercise correctly throughout the rest of the week.
You know, I want to add to something you said, Sal, that I think is important to reiterate for the trainers that are listening is, I too was like this, where at the beginning I did not, I get frustrated with this client. I'd say, oh, you know, you're not serious enough, or if you really want to see results, we need to be training at least 3 times a week if I want to see it. And to be honest, later in my career, I actually preferred this too.
Totally.
I mean, I would much rather, in fact, I found myself talking clients down that were like all motivated because they had something coming up where they're like, oh, I could give you 5 days a week. And I'm like, well, when was the last time you trained 5 days a week? And they'd be like, well, never, but I know now I have the time. And then I would actually end up going, you know what, let's start off with just 1 or 2 times, build a really solid routine and a good habit, and then we could start to build off of that.
Well, also, I mean, you're teaching them to fish. You're teaching them how to figure this out for themselves as well, like this type of a client versus somebody that's coming in and they're relying on you the entire time to just tell them what to do and be mindless, you know, about the entire program of it. Like really spending the time to educate them in that 1 to 2 days that you have available is going to be super worthwhile.
Yeah, and you know, you can actually get 2 days a week, you can get exceptional results.
Oh, yeah.
That Doug worked out with me 2 days a week.
Definitely.
For the first, I think, year or two that we trained together. So Doug went from, you know, normal active guy to deadlifting twice his body weight. And there's this before and after picture that I've posted in the past where you could see his abs and all that. That was 2 days a week of resistance training. Now, the other days he was active on his own normally, but really it was only 2 structured workouts a week. You can get very far with 2 really, really good resistance training workouts.
You can not only get really far, you can also maintain a decent physique at that.
Totally.
I mean, I'm training that right now. 1, maybe 2 times of resistance training a week right now. Now, by no means am I impressive, but I also don't look like I don't work out. You know, you can maintain, especially if your programming is tight and you are doing the biggest bang for your buck movements. Man, if you're deadlifting and squatting and overhead pressing and benching twice a week, you're going to have a pretty damn good physique and base.
That's one of the things I love most about resistance training. It sends the signal, and then the body does the work. So it's not like you have to you're not manually building muscle there. Like with cardio, you have to manually burn calories. With resistance training, you're setting the gears in motion. And so if it's effective, it can be infrequent. And that's one of the hallmarks of resistance training. It's one of the reasons why it's one of the best ways to exercise, especially with our current busy lifestyles.
Next question is from Rebel Hammond. Can you tell us your thoughts on the farmer's walk? They are so simple, yet I don't see a lot of people incorporating them into their routine.
Yeah, I never thought. I you know,
Justin got,
I love them.
Justin got us.
Oh, yeah. Totally. I thought of farmer's walks like a trainer. You know, like okay, it's good for stability. It's good for hand strength. Strengthens the back. It makes your body tight. Like the core activation, it's great for that. Like I understood it from a trainer perspective, but I'd never understood it from an experience perspective because I never made it a part of I'd done them before, but the way I do them would be like occasionally if I'm going to have fun with somebody in our workout or whatever. Never trained them. Then we wrote the MAPS Strong program. Now, MAPS Strong was a workout program that was strongman inspired. And a big part of strongman training is farmer walks, and that's part of their competition. You know, when they compete, they have to carry things in their hands and walk with them. Mm-hmm. So I worked my way up to almost 500-pound trap bar farmer walks, and I was training them consistently. And I could not believe the muscle that I was building from doing them. It turned my whole body on. My traps, my back, the muscles, of course, of the forearms and hands, shoulders, my legs got tight. I could feel my core working. I developed a brand new respect for the farmer's walk, and I consider it to be definitely a top 15, if not a top 10 exercise that people can do.
Yeah, much like when you bring up the story about mail carriers in your family and like how that inspired you to, you know, come up with trigger sessions and saw what that did in terms of muscle development. The same with me in terms of playing with certain types of athletes in my career with various sports that I was in. I always noticed there was a certain type of athlete that just had this inner power, this inner strength that was far superior than the other athletes. And most of them that I had experienced and had met were from different farm towns and different places where manual labor was, like, really rigorous manual labor was a part of their growing up. And it's just one of those things, building up this work capacity and building up this work strength. It's something that I think a lot of people don't really recognize, how that also, like, it really translates into your overall strength, which then, you know, propels you forward even more. So to add that in as something that you can frequently work on and do it at the right dose to where it's not going to impede on, the intensity of your regular foundational workouts, it's going to get you to be able to endure longer bouts of really strenuous type work in the gym.
Well, think about it like this. We've made the case for isometrics on this podcast many a times, right? And I think that we all agree on the value of it and how undervalued the isometric exercises are. Name me an isometric exercise that is as intense. And I know farmer walks, you're moving, so people don't think of it as an isometric exercise. But think about from your traps down to your fingertips, down to your toes, with a load, which most people can carry 200 to 500 plus pounds. Name me something that is that intense isometrically on your entire body from neck to your toes.
Yeah, right. And the posterior chain, which, again, we all try to, voice that quite a bit. Like, we don't consider movements throughout the day to activate and, gain connection with your posterior chain very often. And so this is another way to really bring that into your everyday
life. It lights up everything from the neck to the fingertips to the toes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Name me one part of the body when you're holding 500 pounds and walking 30 yards that is not completely...
Everything's involved.
Everything is connected. Everything is lighting up at an intense level. It's not like a plank.
It's also one of the most functional exercises. I mean, you are going to do that in life. You are going to pick things up, walk with them, and hold them. And so it's a very fun... You get strong at farmer walks, you just are strong.
Well, and you've given the analogy that I've repeated a million times, Sal, with the whole speaker and amplifier. I would argue that it's probably one of the best ways to invest in your amplifier.
Yeah.
Of all the
central nervous system.
Yeah. Of all the things that you could do to really strengthen your central nervous system, heavy farmer carries have to be up there with one of the top three, if not the top one.
Yeah, juice up them amplitudes.
Next question is from Bong Rips and Booty Licks.
Oh, this is
what a fantastic name.
We would be friends.
Yeah.
When you find the balance that you guys talk about with respect to diet, activity, and lean gains, would increasing cardio be more of a detriment than a help?
Nah, listen, here's the deal. Okay, this all people always get confused. There's nothing wrong.
Well, maybe because of the first, 500 plus episodes.
Yeah, we had to counter this abuse of a form of exercise. Look, cardiovascular activity can be very healthy. Anything overdone can be bad for you. That includes resistance training, okay? So if you do more cardiovascular activity and it's appropriate for you, no, it's not going to be detrimental. It's going to make you healthier. It's going to make you feel good. It's going to improve your performance. In fact, there's a level of cardiovascular activity that will even help you build more muscle as long as it contributes to better health. Now, if your question is adding more cardio going to reduce the amount of strength and muscle I can gain at extreme levels? Well, that depends also. That depends on the person. At some point it will, because doing lots of cardio is teaching your body to improve its endurance.
It's catabolic.
And its stamina, and making you more efficient, where lots of muscle is not necessarily efficient with that type of stuff. So your body pairs muscle down. But there's nothing at all wrong with cardiovascular activity. Now, I like to communicate cardio like this with people. I prefer to not tell people to purposely go out to do cardio, unless that's what they enjoy doing, in which case it's totally fine. But I'm talking to the average person, and they're like, hey, what should I do to optimize my health? The cardiovascular component of the workout is going to be injecting daily walks into their day. It's just part of your day. It's a behavior change rather than making the time to go to the gym. If you attach it to things that you do throughout the day, if it ritualizes it, which makes it more likely to continue. For example, If I connect it to breakfast, lunch, and dinner, I always have breakfast. I always have lunch. I always have dinner. If I connect a 20-minute walk to each of those, I'm much more likely to be consistent than if I have to go away to go do cardio or separate it from everything else. So, but no, it's not detrimental unless it's too much for you. And what determines if it's too much? Your goals, your body, what else you're doing, your diet, the rest of your lifestyle.
Well, yeah, or how much you're, because this question, you say balance at first, which that's the key, right? The key is to have balance in it. I think it serves its purpose to be in there, but then it says, would increasing cardio be more detriment? So
if you're already balanced.
Right, then. If you're balanced and you're already intermittently doing it, or it's something you're consistently doing on a weekly basis already, and you're asking to increase it more, well, yeah, I mean, it may not serve you when it comes to building muscle.
That's good. I didn't even catch that. It's like, mm-hmm. So if everything I'm doing is perfect, if I do some more of it, then what happens? It's not perfect.
Right.
Yeah, so that's good. It's good.
Next question is from Jay Canales, 140. What are some good strategies you guys have done or do when trying to study a certain topic?
Oh, I talk about this all the time. What's funny is I learned – what I'm about to communicate, I learned part of this when I first became a personal trainer. I started to realize that because I was teaching fitness to my clients, I was actually learning it better, because in order to communicate something, you have to really understand it well. So oftentimes when you learn something, you think, oh, I know this. Well, now see if you could teach it. The process of trying to teach it gets you to understand it more fully. So that's step number one for me is, when I'm learning something, and I'm sure people around me can sometimes be annoyed by this, but when I'm into something, I talk about it. I debate about it. I discuss about it. Part of that is the learning process for me, and it helps me really learn what I'm learning. The other side of this, the other point that I'll give is this. When you develop an opinion on a topic, seek out an opposing opinion. And I don't mean seek out a crappy opposing opinion. Find somebody who you think has the best chance at changing your mind. Find somebody who does a really, really good job of arguing the opposite. And that will either help you develop your opinion more fully, or you'll change your mind because they've done a good job.
I don't even think you have to go that far. I mean, we're spoiled today. It's how I Google now. So if I have, and name anything, why eating meat is bad, why eating meat is good, I always just, right after I Google what I'm interested in, I Google the opposite of that statement. So whenever you're searching topics, just do that. And what's so amazing about Google is the stuff that people are sharing that is backed will normally surface towards the top, and I'll go and I won't just read the first article on the top. And definitely pay attention if it's an ad versus something that has organically surfaced to the top of Google. And I'll read that whole first page, all five blogs and articles or studies related to that topic. And I'll put in maybe the belief that I have or the question that I have. And then I will then right afterwards Google the opposite. That is trying to support the opposite side of the argument, and then read all that supports that. And I think that everybody should train themselves to do this. And I think it's so amazing that we have this resource now that just didn't exist just 15, 20 years ago.
No, it was hard.
Yeah. It was very hard. You would have to seek out, and a lot of times you end up reading a bunch of books that never got to your answer, where you can literally just Google specifically, whatever it is that either confirms your bias and then the complete opposite. And don't just stop by reading one. I read a handful of articles and studies and blogs that support it. And then I take it to the next level after I've felt like I've informed myself. Now I go have that health. And this is what I love about our relationship, because even though the three of us may seem like we agree all the time on the podcast, a lot of times we debate stuff all the time. We talk, and you probably heard more of it early on. But we do that, all challenge each other and hear opposing ideas on it. I think that's the best way to learn.
Yeah, I like to read or listen to podcasts or audiobooks, and then really digest what I'm I want to take my time really to to let it resonate, and then see what the main points are, then take that and then discuss it in a conversation and try and find holes in it, and then go look for something in an opposing argument. But I think there's like a time period for me to really sit and meditate on what really was trying to be conveyed. And for me, it might take a little longer to then go to teach it, which is something I definitely agree with. I think teaching it is where you really start to understand something, because then now it's like I've taken the concept, I've applied it, you know, I've meditated on it, but now I'm trying to then you know duplicate that by presenting that to somebody else. And am I doing a good job in that, or do I really not understand
it fully? So to put it simply, seek out different ways of thinking about the same topic. So what, because people think thinking and they think it's all the same. It's not. You have thinking in your mind. There's thinking on paper. No joke. If you write, try this. If you ever have an idea or you're mad at somebody, you're pissed off at your friend, write it out. Write out what you feel. And what you'll find is you start to process things a little bit differently because it's a different form of thinking. Then talk about it. Mm-hmm. Talking about it is another form of thinking. And then there's another way of thinking where you debate with someone else. Now you're getting challenged on the way you think. Those are all different ways of thinking. And if you can take a topic and bring it through all of those, you're going to come out with a lot of confidence in kind of how you feel because you've gone through all those different things. But this requires open-mindedness. When I seek out debates on topics that I'm learning, I seek out the people. I typically do this online. I belong to these groups, and I'll see somebody debating something. So I'll go on and I'll debate it. I'll typically find the person who does the best job. And I'm literally, this is what I'm saying. I don't say this literally to the person, but this is essentially what I'm saying. I'm saying, change my mind. You know, it would be like if you go to a car dealership and you tell the salesperson, if you can sell me this car, I'll buy it. That's literally what I'm saying to the person. Look, if you can convince me, I will be on your side. So do your best job convincing me. And then we go and we have this discussion debate. And if they fail, it's because I'm more confident in my opinion. And if they succeed, well, that's phenomenal. I'm now better off than I was before.
The other thing this takes, and I think this is why people struggle with this a lot, is courage. It takes courage to put yourself out there and stand behind something and know that you may be wrong. You have to be okay with that. You have to be okay with, hey, I think this is how I believe and this is what I've read and therefore I'm going to have this conversation or this debate with Sal. But people are so afraid to get proven wrong or to sound or feel like an idiot afterwards that they don't do that. And I think this is a lot of, you know, in my early 20s as a trainer, this is a lot of where my growth came from was I just wasn't afraid of that. I wasn't afraid to put myself out there. You know, even when I knew I was talking to someone who was probably far more educated than I am, putting my ideas out there, getting them challenged, getting my paradigm shattered, probably being wrong, maybe even feeling like a little bit of an idiot. Mm-hmm. But okay, it's okay because you know what? Now I understand. Now I know, and now I'm smarter.
Now we move forward.
One place I can think of right now where that happened to me relatively recently was through the childbirth process. I thought up until I was an adult, I think I was 38. And I thought, man, childbirth is a super dangerous thing. It killed women for thousands and thousands of years and whatever. And we talked about it on a podcast. And I said, oh, yeah, you know, childbirth is a major killer. And, you know, thank God for modern medicine. And a midwife. Now, midwives are experts at child delivery. Some people think they're OBs are. OBs are actually surgeons. Midwives specialize specifically in natural childbirth. So this midwife is in our forum. She goes, Sal, you're totally wrong. She's like, actually, this is, you know, she gave me a lot of information. Now, I could have been like, screw you. And, you know, I said, you know what? She's an expert. I want to see if she can convince me. So we had this long discussion. She sent me a couple documentaries. I did some more learning and I realized I was totally wrong. And it feels good. It feels good. But you have to be okay with being wrong.
Right.
But if you're okay with it,
takes courage, dude.
Then you come out of it. And man, it feels good because now I'm not wrong anymore. Now I have a better opinion about something that I was wrong about for so long. And with that, go to mindpumpfree.com and download all of our guides, resources, and books. You can also find the three best podcast hosts in the universe.
We're the three amigos.
On Instagram, you can find Justin at mindpumpjustin. You can find me at mindpumpsal, Adam at mindpumpadam. Oh, by the way, Doug is also on Instagram, believe it or not. He's got a fans-only page. Go to at mindpumpdoug.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. If your goal is to build and shape your body, dramatically improve your health and energy, and maximize your overall performance, check out our discounted RGB Super Bundle at mindpumpmedia.com. The RGB Super Bundle includes MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Performance, and MAPS Aesthetic,
9 months of phased expert exercise programming designed by Sal, Adam, and Justin to systematically transform the way your body looks, feels, and performs. With detailed workout blueprints and over 200 videos, the RGB Super Bundle is like having Sal, Adam, and Justin as your own personal trainers, but at a fraction of the price. The RGB Super Bundle has a full 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can get it now plus other valuable free resources at mindpumpmedia.com. If you enjoy this show, please share the love by leaving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes and by introducing Mind Pump to your friends and family. We thank you for your support, and until next time, this is Mind Pump.